Aoraki/Mt. Cook. Aoraki/Mt. Cook map of the Aoraki/Mt. Cook region dated 1946, a detail from a larger tourist map of New Zealand drawn for the NZ Government Tourist Board, on display at the Auckland Public Library in April 2018. Crown copyright reserved. New Zealand's highest peak, Aoraki/Mt. Cook, lies at the heart of a national park that combines dangerous mountaineering opportunities with simple, scenic day walks and the start of the Alps to Ocean Cycle Trail, which goes all the way down to Oamaru. Mt. Cook Village, at the foot of Aoraki/Mt. Cook, is totally accessible by car and bus, and you can use it as a base for activities that are as adventurous as you like. An old 1930s type poster at Mt. Cook Village walks you can do in the vicinity of Mt. Cook Village without getting into actual mountaineering include the Hooker Valley Track, which gets close to the Hooker Glacier, and walks along the Tasman Valley, which in their turn bring you to the Blue Lakes and the Tasman Glacier. At the Hooker Glacier, Aoraki/Mt. Cook, see the webpage doc.government.nz/Hooker Valley Track, and also download the brochure Walking Tracks in Aoraki/Mt. Cook National Park from the New Zealand Department of Conservation, DOC, which covers the Hooker Valley Track more briefly and also a range of others including the Tasman Valley Walks. For the cycleway from the Hooker Valley to Oamaru, see alps2ocean.com. The Alps to Ocean Cycle Trail also has an alternative beginning at nearby Lake Tekapo. In the remainder of this chapter, I will talk about a gnarly mountaineering skills training adventure I went on, and then reflect on earlier generations of climbers, including women who went up in long dresses and hobnailed boots. My high alpine skills training adventure. We started our high alpine skills training course near Mt. Cook Village, staying at the New Zealand Alpine Club's Unwin Lodge, which was a very eerie place. Every time I had stayed there, I couldn't believe the stories I heard about dreadful accidents from people who'd actually seen them happen. For instance, one time I was sitting in the lounge and a party of four climbers came up and were led in somberly by the hut warden, as they had lost someone on the mountain. It was the sort of place where death was quite a frequent occurrence. Aoraki/Mt. Cook foothills terrain, tramping back to the Unwin Lodges with diving, you always climb with a partner too, at the very least, somebody has to hold the other end of the rope. Before the course started, I remember talking to a woman who told me that she and her climbing partner had pitched their tent half under a flat rock face and half out in the open. An avalanche had come down and completely covered her climbing partner. She had to dig her partner out and said they were lucky to be alive because they both could have died. I remember thinking, oh, this climbing business is quite risky, for generally I am fairly conservative when it comes to taking risks. New Zealand's tallest mountain, Aoraki/Mt. Cook, has long offered a challenge for aspiring climbers. To Ngāi Tahu, the peak represents the most sacred of ancestors and it is therefore tapu, forbidden, to climb on its head. Government cultural guidelines recommend not standing right at the top, not cooking or eating right at the top, and to take out all rubbish, which people should do anyway. All the same, European explorers have come to the area from the time of earliest settlement until now to attempt the climb. These include Sir Edmund Hillary, who learnt his mountain craft on Mt. Cook and its surrounding peaks. The Aoraki/Mt. Cook National Park itself was established in 1953 to protect the mountainous area, even though some of the land in the park is still privately owned. To start with, we trekked some way up the nearby Seeley Range, and my feet became covered in blisters. We did some training and learnt belaying, and then tramped back down to Unwin Lodge. From Unwin Lodge, we flew by helicopter up and over the charming Seeley Tarns to the Barron Saddle Hut to start our alpine training in earnest. Once we got there, we found out that an earlier hut at a nearby location, the Three Johns Hut, had been blown over a precipice by the wind in 1977. Three people inside at the time were killed. Huts on Mt. Cook have also been taken out by avalanches. The Barron Saddle Hut was a metal cylinder which looked like it'd been designed by an engineer to handle extreme natural forces. Even this survival bunker had lately had some of its windows blown in, or sucked out, by the local whirlwinds. Their empty frames were covered over by wood. I got no sleep whatever at first, worrying about all the ways the elements seemed to be conspiring against us. From the hut, we went via Barron Saddle to stay overnight on Mountainette on the Seeley Range. There was a beautiful sunset over the Mt. Cook/Aoraki mountain range. I'd brought a bivy on the trip, a weatherproof bag that zips over your sleeping bag for sleeping outdoors. But I had left it behind in Barron Saddle Hut by mistake, because I was so tired. In the end, I had to borrow an emergency blanket off one of the instructors. I wrapped the survival blanket around my sleeping bag and our group slept outside under the stars that night, huddled together. It was beautiful, though cold. But I had enough clothes on, about 3 or 4 layers, to cope. The instructors were more than professional, keeping an extra eye on people like me who were relatively inexperienced. After getting nervous initially due to the unnerving Unwin Lodge tales and the history of Baron Saddle and Three Johns, I felt completely safe in the hands of the instructors. It had been quite an adventure and Aoraki/Mount Cook was stunning, but the whole time I just didn't feel comfortable with my level of alpine skills. I haven't given up on that sort of thing, but I'm going to take a step back and think I'm better off with a guide in such mountainous areas. I fi.